You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a high-profile arrest last night here in New York. Federal officials say rap mogul Sean Combs was taken into custody at the Park Hyatt Hotel amid investigations into sex assault and violence. Correspondent Jennifer Kuiper has our top story.
Combs' attorney Mark Agnifilo says they are disappointed with the decision to pursue what they believe is an unjust prosecution of Mr. Combs by the U.S. Attorney's Office. He says Combs is an imperfect person, but he's not a criminal, and that to his credit, Mr. Combs has been nothing but cooperative with this investigation, and he voluntarily relocated to New York last month in anticipation of these charges.
Combs is expected to be arraigned today. New details on Sunday's apparent assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
Driver! Take two steps to your right!
Police body cam video captures the arrest of Ryan Routh, who's accused of taking aim at the former president at his golf club in Florida, but running away when officers began firing on him. In an interview on X last night, Mr. Trump revealed he got a call from President Biden.
It was very nice that he called up to make sure I was okay, to make sure that, do I have any suggestions or anything? Mm-hmm. We do need more people on my detail because we have 50, 60,000 people showing up to events.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is sending state police into schools in Springfield amid a wave of bomb threats sparked by debunked claims by Mr. Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance that immigrants there are eating cats and dogs.
They will go in. They will go in early in the morning before any faculty is there, any teachers there, or any administrators or any students. They will sweep the building. They will do that every single day.
Officials southeast of Houston say a driver who plowed through a fence in the city of Deer Park and hit an above-ground valve triggered a massive pipeline explosion. KHOU-TV's Troy Kless.
Many of the neighbors say that they live close enough to where they could still feel the heat and see the burning that is still going on behind us. So some homes do have fire damage, we're told, and many of those people that we spoke to are concerned if their house is going to be okay.
The National Weather Service calls it a once-in-a-thousand-year event. A storm's dumped up to 18 inches of rain on North Carolina in just 12 hours. Carolina Beach town manager Bruce Oakley.
We've had reports of 14 to 20 inches in 12 hours, so it's just more than any stormwater system can handle, but we did our best to keep pumping.
Some alt-rockers have canceled the rest of their reunion tour. Jane's Addiction calling it off after frontman Perry Farrell threw a punch at guitarist Dave Navarro on stage. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Enrollment at the Universities of Wisconsin has grown to nearly 164,000 students this fall, the highest total since 2020. Eight campuses saw higher enrollments, but some of that growth was impacted by some two-year branch campuses closing. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance campaigns in Wisconsin Tuesday. James Kelly reports.
The rally is scheduled for 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon. The Eau Claire event district also hosted a rally for Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz shortly after his introduction to the ticket. It's the second visit that Senator Vance has made to Eau Claire since joining former President Trump on the Republican ticket. I'm James Kelly.
Vice President Kamala Harris plans to speak in Madison Friday night. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Quarterbacks in the state of Wisconsin have had some misfortune this fall. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Badgers quarterback Tyler Van Dyke will miss the rest of the season after tearing his ACL in Saturday's loss to Alabama. Braden Locke will take over behind center for Wisconsin. The Badgers are off until a week from Saturday when they take on USC. The Packers also lost their quarterback in the opener when Jordan Love was hurt late in that game. He also missed Sunday's game against the Colts. Coach Matt LaFleur said that Love's return will strictly be a medical decision and that Love can play even without practicing this week, although LaFleur said he'd prefer Love getting some work. The Brewers got two home runs from Willie Adames and took down Philadelphia 6-2 on Monday. With the win, the Brewers can clinch a division title and a playoff berth today with a win and a Chicago Cubs loss. Milwaukee gets the Phillies again this afternoon in Game 2 of a 7-game homestand that also includes Arizona. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. South winds at about 5 to 10. Clear tonight, low around 60. Sunshine and 83 for Wednesday. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 60 degrees. Slight chance of a shower Thursday with a high near 83.
It's 60 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we're talking about supper clubs, the comfort food of restaurants, what makes them unique, and why they're so hard to rank.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many.
Welcome back. Tomorrow night is a Bar Band Friday here at Nightlight. Terry Barr from Max Inc. Radio will be here, and Dom Salvia will be here to talk about his new show here at Civic Media that will be on right before Nightlight from 4 to 6. So that'll be a fun show. All right, we are going to pivot here. This is exciting. I have a guest on who is a best-selling author about to join us, and he wrote a book about a gentleman that many of us here in Wisconsin are very familiar with, and he goes by the name of Aaron Rodgers. So, Conrad, you know who that is, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And you're a fan?
I was.
All right, fantastic. Let's see if we can change that. No, I'm kidding. Half kidding. Ian O'Connor joins us. He is the author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Ian, welcome to Nightlight.
Pete, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you so much for your time tonight and being here. This is so interesting to me. I don't even kind of really know where to start with you, Ian, because Aaron Rodgers is such a fascinating character. I totally get why you wrote the book and why he interested you. But can you tell us something about him that you learned along the way and give us just sort of an overview of the book, if you would?
Yeah, by the way, Vince Lombardi coached my high school. The only place he had ever been a head coach before the Packers was St. Cecilia's High School in Englewood, New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
So I was always fascinated. He lived eight houses away from where I grew up. So I was always fascinated by the Packers of Lombardi and Starr and wanted to write a book on a Packer at some point in my life. So Aaron got traded into my backyard, and David Moranis, of course, wrote an epic book on Lombardi that is my favorite all-time sports book. I would have loved to have had a crack at Vince, but that didn't happen. So Aaron, I was always really intrigued by him from a distance in New York, watching his career unfold. I always thought he was the best interview in the NFL, very thoughtful, engaging, and candid. But I think the one thing I found that was surprising, to be honest with you, Pete, is the amount of players I interviewed from high school through junior college, and Green Bay that absolutely admired him, respected him, liked him, loved him as a teammate and a leader surprised me. It was almost unanimous. I thought I would get more negativity, particularly based on the way he's been covered the last few years. And I even think I go back to last summer when he arrived with the Jets. Jets fans watched Hard Knocks, the show on HBO, and they thought going in that Aaron was a jerk, basically. A lot of them told me that. And they were okay with that. As long as he played like a first ballot Hall of Famer, they didn't care.
Sure.
But they could not believe coming away from that HBO show how much they thought he was a really good teammate, leader. And they were very happy that he came across that way. So that was the one thing. The teammates en masse, just their respect for him. That knocked me back. I was surprised by that.
That's really, if you hear that, which is so interesting about Aaron Rodgers, because I remember thinking, boy, it's hard not to like this guy. For a lot of his career, he was so good, and he was a good interview. And I didn't grow up in Green Bay, at least the early part of my life, but I was an Aaron Rodgers fan, and I'm not saying I'm not now, but he just seems like he's
almost purposefully trying to kind of change his image and be more quirky. And then you hear the stuff about his family. And I'm like, well, that kind of speaks volumes. Like, old friends or family don't talk to him. And I'm just hearing stuff, what I hear through sports media. But has that been your experience? Does he talk to his family anymore?
Well, he did have a meeting with his father last summer at Lake Tahoe at the Celebrity Golf Tournament. His father hadn't seen him in 9 years or talked to him, but he put himself, Ed Rogers did, in the crowd hoping Aaron would see him. And lo and behold, Aaron did see him. And he decided that day to go over and give him a hug. And Ed Rogers turned around in the gallery and he saw his son looking at him 15 feet away. And he froze because he said, I forgot what it felt like to be in my son's presence and to have him look at me.
Oh, wow.
So Aaron hugged him and said, I love you. They each said, I love you. Ed Rogers cried and they both said it was a very meaningful 30-second moment. Aaron told me for the book that he wants to have a relationship with his father again. So the family reconciliation would start there. His father was always his idol before the estrangement. And so that's the hope that there is a reconciliation with those two. It hasn't happened yet, as far as I know. But I think then hopefully the rest of the family would fall into place.
So what is it about that? Is it, does he create these rifts, so to speak, like kind of like Michael Jordan, as an effort somehow to motivate himself, do you think, Ian? Or is that just, does he just get rubbed the wrong way easily?
The way it was described to me by his best friend, Jordan Russell, in the book, and it's funny because Jordan Russell was exiled from Aaron's life for 3 or 4 years, too. And he was brought back from the place I call in the book, the island. That's where Aaron puts people that he no longer wants part of his life. And it's a cold and distant place and lonely there. And Jordan Russell was one of the very few who got rescued from the island. But he said Aaron has always been hell-bent on becoming an all-time great and a master of his craft. And if you're not mission-aligned, whether you're a family member or a friend, he will remove you from his path permanently, usually. And that's just the way he is. He's not the first person I've met like that, but it's not a great character trait to have and very unforgiving in that way. But yeah, and effectively, I think Aaron's at a place now where he's trying to figure out how to end it. And the estrangement has become its own living organism, and he doesn't know how to kill it off. So it's easier to, instead of confronting it, to just let it linger and fester and live on. So yeah, I'm hoping he does figure it out for the sake of him. And it just, as a human being, not an author.
Right.
I was kind of hoping in some strange way that this book would help just get some of it out in public and maybe change the dynamic of that family dysfunction. But we'll see how it plays out.
That is the voice of Ian O'Connor. He wrote the book Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. He's written several books about big-time sports figures. Ian, you mentioned before, I thought you said you talked to Rodgers, but the book is unauthorized. Were you able to interview him for the book, even though it was unauthorized, or does he want to fight you? Where does he fit in here with the book?
I had actually handed the book in, I want to say it was late January, might've been early February, and the manuscript was done. And all of a sudden 2 weeks, and that was without him. He had not responded to my messages through the Jets, through his agent. I went directly to Aaron. I sent him my books on Belichick and Coach K.
Yeah.
And I got nothing but indifference and non-responses. But 2 weeks after I handed the book in, I got a message from the Jets saying, Aaron is now willing to see you. So I flew from New Jersey out to Los Angeles, drove to, by the way, I had a bomb scare on my flight. I got diverted to Chicago because there was a possibility of a bomb being on that plane. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But we reboard the plane after 7 hours in Chicago. I thought I was going to miss the interview for a while there. So thankfully, I made it to his place in Malibu, beautiful home right on the Pacific Ocean. His backyard is the ocean. It's a beautiful setting. And wow. I didn't know how much time he was going to give me, but I think what happened is I had contacted so many of his friends and associates. And I think over time they said to him, the guy seems legitimate. He seems like he doesn't have an agenda. And I didn't. I had no agenda whatsoever. And I think Aaron realized that. And he was willing to engage on some sensitive subjects, particularly the family estrangement. And he made it a better book over those 2 hours. And I very much appreciated that.
Wow. That's great. Let's just say, hypothetically, if your plane had exploded and you couldn't make the meeting, do you think he would have put you on the island, or would he have been able to look past that?
Oh, God. Well, I wouldn't have survived the explosion. I don't think so. I would have had bigger problems than being on Aaron's Island. I think
Of course.
By the way, when I was driving to Malibu, they had like record mudslides out there in February. Terrible. I was afraid I wouldn't get to his house that way either. So, but he was very, when I got there, he was very cordial. And we sat in the back. It's a hell of a backyard. I mean, it really is.
Sounds like it. Jeez.
But because it's unauthorized, he didn't owe me anything. He didn't have any editorial control. He was getting no money from this project, not that he needed it. And so the fact that he sat there, and I would have loved 15 to 20 hours with him to tell the story of his life, but he gave me 2 hours of fact-checking. That was very valuable.
Oh, I can imagine. Does that tell you that he read the book and wanted to meet with you, that he kind of does have a plan, or he does like to be unique or mysterious in a bit? Like, it's right there in your title. If he's giving you his blessing, so to speak, without authorizing it, does that mean like kind of the way he acts is part of his plan on some level?
I think a lot of people around the NFL believe that. And he has leaned into this villainous role in the last 3 years that he was assigned by the media after COVID, after he said those four words, "Yeah, I've been immunized," when he was not vaccinated.
Right.
That really changed his entire life, never mind his image.
Right.
But he does seem to lean into that character, and he wants you to think he doesn't care what you say or what you write. But everybody I know who knows him knows that he cares an awful lot about what you say and what you write about him. So he's a fascinating guy, I have to say, very intellectually curious. And one thing that struck me was I said to him, "Hey, as a biographer, do you understand I have no choice but to write about your family estrangement? But if you feel I actually do have a choice and you don't agree with that premise, let's have that debate right now." And he said, because he's read so many books and biographies, he's a very well-read man. And he got it. He said, "I understand if you're doing my life story, you basically have no choice but to include that." And I've met superstar athletes, Derek Jeter, one of them, who never would have understood that. So I appreciated that he got it and understood I had no choice but to write about that part of his life.
That's really interesting. So, Ian, was there a moment where you decided to write the book or something that happened? Was it his response to COVID or something? What was going on in his life when you started the book?
Actually, it was the trade. But I was always interested in him from afar. But I live in New Jersey. He got traded to a team that practices in New Jersey. He goes from the smallest market in the NFL to the biggest. And I thought it was the perfect time. At the end of his career, he clearly identified something with the Jets that would potentially enhance his legacy in the sport. And that is, it's a franchise that has not stepped in the Super Bowl since Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. So that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
If I could win a championship for that Charlie Brown franchise in New York City, that is going to feel like I won three championships, not one. So, and he's right. That would be, if he pulls it off, and I've been doing this in New York for nearly 40 years, that would be the biggest New York sports story of my lifetime. And so listen, Tom Brady has seven Super Bowl rings and Aaron just has the one. He's never closing that gap. But to win one in New York, I think would close it to some degree, because that ring would just feel a lot bigger than one.
Sure, or at least certainly enhance his own legacy. I remember when he took over, I felt like Favre kind of got chased out of town here, and I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I've seen what that guy does. You don't know what you have in Rodgers. Well, obviously they did. My guest is Ian O'Connor. His book is Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. We'll have a couple more minutes with Ian when we come back after a very quick break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We are talking with Ian O'Connor. He's the author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, who is a local legend here, obviously, in the state of Wisconsin, and still is. Ian, so Rodgers wins a Super Bowl, and now here it is 12 years later or whatever, and you thought he would have won another one. So I think you're right. Winning one with the Jets would just put him in another category.
Yeah, it's amazing. Those of us here in the New York area are very jealous of Green Bay football fans, because you've gone from a first ballot Hall of Famer in Favre to a first ballot Hall of Famer in Rodgers to a guy who looks like he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer in Jordan Love. And oh, by the way, you had a quarterback by the name of Bart Starr who won five championships back in the day. So I've seen a lot of bad football played by quarterbacks in New York. So we're jealous of Green Bay fans. But yeah, it's interesting, because could you imagine if the Packers ever played Aaron Rodgers and the Jets in the Super Bowl? And it's not out of the question, because
right.
The Packers this year considered one of the three or four teams in the NFC that could get there. And the Jets are considered one of the three or four teams in the AFC that has the roster to get there. And they got to keep Aaron healthy this year. And let's see how the season unfolds. But Jets fans are having a hard time buying in, because they bought in last year and they got burned after four snaps in the first game. And they're having a hard time really embracing the idea that this team could go the distance.
Listen, you don't have to tell me. I grew up in Chicago, so I've been dealing with Packer quarterbacks for the better part of 30 years. What do you think people will come away with when they read this book? Will you change? Not that you're trying to, but will they have a different opinion of him, do you think? Will they cut him some slack? Or what do you think?
I think more people who have read it have said to me that they like him a little bit more after reading it than they did when they started. There have been a few that have said the opposite. And so what I tried to do is really balance out the last 3 years of coverage of Aaron, which has been mostly negative in the media. And frankly, a lot of it self-inflicted wounds and unforced errors committed by Aaron. So it really was his doing in a lot of ways. The conspiracy theories on top of the Jimmy Kimmel dust up the old COVID misdirection play that he tried to run an end around on the media, and it just blew up on him. And
right. So
there are a lot of stories of kindness and generosity behind the scenes that his friends told me, associates told me, again, that he doesn't want to publicize. And his marketing agent with CAA, Ed Berry, is frustrated. He said, Aaron's a frustrating client because I want to publicize some of these things that counter the negative, and he won't let me. So I think I bring out a fair amount of those stories in the book to show to paint a complete portrait of the human being and balance it out a little bit. And also, I never want to tell the reader what to decide. I want the reader to figure out good guy, bad guy, or somewhere in the middle. And that was my goal with this book.
What do you think about how crazy was, I assume Out of the Darkness comes from when he went into the cave, and I'm hearing this secondhand. I don't know exactly what he took, but as I understand it, was some type of hallucinogenic or something.
Ayahuasca.
When I was a kid, a professional athlete couldn't say that. This is just crazy that he can just say to the world, yeah, I'm doing this. And people are like, oh, okay. You know, like maybe I'll try that sometime, you know? I don't know if things changed that much in sports where a guy could just be that open. Obviously they have.
But he didn't do it in this country. Ayahuasca, he did it in Peru and Costa Rica.
Okay.
He had that friend I mentioned who was exiled from his life and is now back in, Jordan Russell. He went on an ayahuasca retreat in Peru in 2019 and came back and said, Aaron, you got to try this. And he was dating Danica Patrick at the time. So he went with her to Peru, sat for some ayahuasca ceremonies and came away thinking, wow, this really was a spiritual cleansing. And I feel like a better man and even a better athlete. He said it helped him play better football. So I think he'll use it for the rest of his career, however long that lasts and beyond, really. I friends of his, more than one, have told me that they feel he is a better person since he started using ayahuasca. So it's helped his relationships, he said, with some people. Hopefully it will help at some point with his family. And yeah, I think ayahuasca is here to stay in Aaron Rodgers' life.
I think all of a sudden I feel like the only person who hasn't tried it. I don't know.
I haven't either. So.
We'll road trip.
Two of us,
I guess. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, Ian, a couple more questions for you. You've written books about Belichick, Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, Derek Jeter, Jack Nicklaus. Who of those icons, really? That's an impressive resume of books. Who are you most intrigued by?
Well, Pete, the obvious answer right now would be Aaron Rodgers to try to get more people to buy the book, right? I think Rodgers is really at the top of that list because Belichick was a mysterious figure, but there was a sameness about him as a character throughout his coaching career. Aaron was elusive. He was considered one of the good guys in sports up until 3 years ago. He was being praised for his stance on Kaepernick and protesting athletes, and he rebuked a fan who yelled out a anti-Muslim slur during the national anthem. Right, and President Obama thanked him for doing that, and Aaron was considered a socially aware athlete that the media was praising. And then all of a sudden, the same media members who were praising him for that really destroyed him over the COVID misdirection. And really, it was a lie, frankly. And Aaron did admit to me he made a mistake there. He doesn't admit many mistakes, but he did say I should have told my truth at the time. And I do think he would have gotten less than half the criticism he did get had he told his truth, which was he was allergic to an ingredient in Pfizer and Moderna and concerned about Johnson & Johnson side effects. Had he said that, I think things would have gone a little differently for him, but he didn't. And he's a very smart person, but sometimes he's too smart for his own good, and that was certainly one of those times.
That's interesting. And what I'm taking away from this conversation is just that he is totally capable of contrition, which he doesn't always come across that way. Like, he seems to back himself into a corner at times and then just not really back down. But it's interesting to hear that to you, he said a few of those things where he's like, you know, I made a mistake. And that's refreshing, I think, to hear that.
Ian, don't hear the all-time greats say that very often in any context. I was wrong. I'm sorry. They just don't say those things.
Yeah. I have one more question for you. I'm a writer myself, not books. I'm not smart enough to do what you do, but do you write? How do you write? Do you write every day? Do you have a set time, or do you pull a Kerouac and just get the mood catches you and you write for 4 days in a row? What's your process as a writer?
I'm better at night writing. I don't know why that is. I think many years as a sports columnist where I was writing after night games on deadline. Okay. And so I was used to really being locked in at night when the house is quiet and the office is quiet. But I generally like to gather as much material through reporting. And I interviewed 250 plus people for this book. And I didn't wait till I was done with those interviews before I started writing, or I never would have gotten done. But I would say I did about 100, 125 of those interviews and then started writing. And then, okay, I have a sense of where I'm going with this story. But generally speaking, I like to start with a scene that's present tense with an introduction in the book and then kind of take the life in chronological form. Well, in this case, I started with his grandfather, who was an amazing World War II combat pilot with an incredible record of service. There are very good reasons why he's buried in Arlington National Cemetery. But Edward Rodgers, that story had never been told. And I found all these documents, his 44 missions against the Hitler war machine. Just incredible stuff, acts of valor. And so that actually, I think, impressed Aaron, and he's talked about that publicly. And that might have been one of the reasons why he sat down with me, because he knew I was starting the book with his grandfather's service, a story that's never been told.
That's great. Ian, I wish you luck with the book. You're a four-time bestseller. You got the endorsement of Peter King, who called it a masterwork on Aaron Rodgers. I hope it's a huge success for you, and this has been really fun. I hope you come back and talk to us again sometime.
Hey, Pete, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. All right. Check out the book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Federal agents have arrested rap mogul Sean Combs at a hotel in New York. It comes amid allegations of sexual misconduct and assault. CBS New York's Jennifer Bisram.
The reason for this arrest and possible charges have not yet been revealed. We did hear from his attorney, who called the developments an unjust prosecution.
Former President Donald Trump's talking about Sunday's apparent assassination attempt in an interview on X.
There's something going on. I mean, perhaps it's God wanting me to be president to save this country.
He says he got a phone call from President Biden afterwards. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine sending state police in to sweep schools in Springfield amid bomb threats linked to Mr. Trump and running mate J.D. Vance debunked claims immigrants there are eating cats and dogs.
Look, parents are scared. And when parents are scared, we need to react. And I don't blame them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Several children are injured after a school bus crash in southeast Wisconsin Monday morning. Police say an SUV ran a stop sign and knocked the bus over. Lisa Hale reports.
The Random Lake School District posted on social media that bus 17 was involved in a crash. Helicopter video showed the bus tipped over on its side. The school district said students were injured and received medical care. The families impacted have been notified. There was no information on the severity of their injuries. I'm Lisa Hale.
Efforts to expand the federal child tax credit have stalled in the U.S. Senate. The Children's Defense Fund says the bill could have lifted 400,000 children out of poverty nationwide. The Annie E. Casey Foundation says 13% of Wisconsin children live in poverty. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Could Ewan McGregor play Obi-Wan Kenobi again? It seems the Force is still with him. After a string of canceled Star Wars shows in the last few years, the franchise is rethinking bringing back McGregor to play Kenobi, and McGregor says he's game. McGregor started playing Kenobi in 1999 in The Phantom Menace and played the character in the 6-episode series Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney+. The network has not given a definitive answer yet on whether or not the series will return for a second season. McGregor says there are still Obi-Wan stories to be told. Well, there is one Goonie who is willing to say die, and her name is Martha Plimpton. Addressing rumors of a Goonies sequel, Plimpton posted on Instagram that there is no script, Spielberg is not involved, and there is no one from the original cast attached. But Goonies apparently stick together. Corey Feldman backs his fellow castmate, confirming on the artist formerly known as Twitter that he has not heard a peep about a sequel. Buzz kill. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. South winds at about 5 to 10. Clear tonight, low around 60. Sunshine and 83 for Wednesday. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 60 degrees. Slight chance of a shower Thursday with a high near 83.
It's 60 at our studios.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, is your employer discriminating against you for your adult content creations? And John Nichols from The Nation Magazine and The Cap Times. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Zero, Drake from Green Bay says, Haley's career could be short-lived if she hawk Tua's on the studio microphone. Well, hopefully they have a cover on it, Drake. I am so listening to that podcast. And I'm going to ask her, I'm going to plead with Haley to lower the cost of her fan club. Because we would love to join, but I ain't paying no $200. All right. This is exciting. We got great guests tonight. Rose Abdu from the show Hacks is here at 7:20. And right now I'm excited. I've wanted to have this next guest on for a while. She's very funny. She is a Wisconsin native who has been on all kinds of national TV shows and podcasts. She also spent time in Minnesota, as I understand it. So she's probably conflicted. We'll have to get to the bottom of that. Please welcome Mary Mack. Mary, hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I was listening and I recognize your show from driving, because I'm a road dog for, 21 years or so comedy. And I know this show. I've heard Civic Media driving down around Platteville and that area.
Oh, nice.
And I'm stoked. I'm stoked.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope we make your drive through Platteville or wherever in this wonderful state of ours more pleasant, Mary, as you've made, as your comedy has brightened our day. We listened to a clip just a little bit ago. So funny. Let's talk about, it says you're a native Minnesotan and Wisconsinite. I'm not saying that can't happen, but how did it happen? And what's it like dealing with that kind of inner turmoil?
Yeah, it is a lot of inner turmoil. You're right. I was born in Minnesota, but from the time of four up, I grew up in northern Burnett County, Wisconsin, and then I went to school in Oshkosh, and oh my gosh. And then after a while, I moved back to Minnesota because of the comedy club in Minneapolis is so good.
Yeah.
And I've been almost like, I'm back in Wisconsin, but it's almost been equal parts, almost, it feels like. And my parents are from Minnesota, and the biggest town we had growing up was, Duluth. And you have six kids, you buy your school clothes in Duluth because there's no sales tax. And, that's where grandma is. That's where the fast food was. So, I don't know. There is a lot of inner turmoil, and it's really hard to give up that Minnesota residency because, man, the dump privileges. Holy cow. You wouldn't believe it. You feel like a queen there. You put something in the alley, they just take it away for free and they recycle it. It's like $50 to get rid of a refrigerator in Wisconsin. I've been smuggling refrigerators and mattresses back into Minnesota to get rid of them for free. So I totally think it's worth the property tax I'm paying there. It's like a drug dealer, but I think I'm doing good things.
But you're providing a much healthier service, giving people something to sleep on and keep their
food
cold.
No, I take your old mattress. I put it in the alley of the house that I don't even use just because the dump privileges are so good. So I'll bring the truck down. I'm going to be down there. I think you might be a 715 person too, but I'm going down to Green Lake, and I'll be in Mineral Point, and I'll be in... If anybody from southern Wisconsin needs me to bring my truck and recycle your mattresses for free, I'm willing to do it.
Boy, two drink minimum, some laughs, and free recycling. That you don't get that from many other stand-up comedians. I applaud you. That's you're biting off a lot there, my friend. It sounds like
I had to buy a trailer. I'm a border kid too, right? So we grew up in Burnett County. We got Minnesota channels, but I had to buy a trailer just so I could smuggle in all the appliances and mattresses to recycle them for free. I'm serious about it.
Now, is that something you can write off because you bought the trailer? Is it paying for itself somehow?
No, not yet, Pete. It's not yet paying for itself.
You just like to help. You don't need the write off. I applaud that. So where do you, I grew up in Chicago, moved to Wisconsin when I was like 12, moved back to Chicago to do stand up when I was, in college and all that. So I have that mixed state, genetics as well. When I'm in Chicago, I was a cheesehead. And when I'm here, I'm a fib. I can't win.
Do you find that the same with Wisconsin and Minnesota?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I here's what I do. I do know people in Wisconsin that are just so much friendlier. And if you talk to a Minnesotan person, they'll agree with you. Mm. Friendlier, easier to get to know. People will live in Minnesota and not know their neighbor for like 10 years. So it's just, it's easier. And I guess, you know, I'm living off the South Shore, and there's still so many Minnesota folks. So it's kind of like it's a nice blend of people. And so far, no name calling. It's pretty good. Hostility so far.
I'm not trying to start anything. But living next to someone and not knowing who they are for 10 years, that sounds a little subversive.
Anybody could be a serial killer. You can't. It's terrifying. I mean, but here everybody welcomes you to their. I remember I was in college. I worked a summer in Door County, and every stranger invited me over to dinner. It was amazing. The Eastern Wisconsin friendliness. It's great. The hospitality is great.
It's fantastic. And that's nice to hear you say that. So we're both 715ers. I admit I don't have a landline, so I don't have a 715, but I live in the 715. Are you a resident of Wisconsin right now? I thought you were like on one of the coasts.
Oh no. After I used to have to live out in LA part time, but then because of COVID, maybe, you know, one of the very few good things that came out of COVID is when you're a voiceover artist, you can actually just do that remote now.
Oh, nice.
And I had done it remote in the past, but not all shows were willing to do it. And I do a Hulu Disney-owned show called Solar Opposites. And the whole time with COVID, I've been recording. It's easiest for me to drive over to Duluth, or sometimes I drive down to Minneapolis, and I will take my mattresses with me. but they don't give me any guff about it. They're still letting me do it. So as long as I can do it, I'm able to put some money away this way and not pay that LA rent. And so I'm really grateful. I hope I still can. I hope people watch my show. Our fifth season came out August 12th. Yeah, and then we just got done recording the sixth season, and I hope people watch it because I get health insurance from it. And my God, your life is totally different when you get health insurance.
Well, and you need it when you're sleeping on a dirty mattress in a foreign state. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I get a lot of infections. So
you probably get pink eye on a weekly basis.
Pink eye, brown eye, green eye. I got all the eyes. I mean, those are colors of eyes you can have, but unnatural. Yeah. So a lot of rashes, and, you know, U.S. healthcare, it's not such a big deal anymore.
Right. So, all right. So the show is called Solar Opposites. It's on Hulu, the fifth season. Check it out. It sounds great. I'm totally watching that. Conrad, let's fire up some popcorn. We're watching Solar Opposites.
Sounds
later.
Good. Yeah.
I love
it's
this.
It's not for kids. I always try to give them a clean take of something.
Okay.
And they really enjoy making me yell. It's like with my dialect, they claim I have an accent, which I don't think I do. And then they enjoy making me swear and yell. So it's not for kids. I know a lot of teenagers think they're getting away with something watching it, but it's really not for maybe real religious people either. I'll give you a list of people who it's not for. It's probably not for my mother-in-law. She's a former Canadian church secretary, so she wouldn't like it. It's probably not for any born-again Christians.
Okay.
Probably ELCA is fine. But there's a long list of people it's not for. But that being said, it's been popular. At one point, it was the most popular show on Hulu. So
that's great.
I know there's something to it.
So if someone
I can't watch it. I'm too busy hauling appliances over to Minnesota.
You're too busy giving back to humanity. Well, and that's a good excuse. But if you're yep. on a bad path to where you haven't been born again yet, and you're still spiraling, this sounds like the show yeah. for someone like that.
Oh yeah, if you're okay. going to hell, go ahead and watch Solar Opposites on Hulu, because man, that's the show for you.
Okay, all right. So, Mary, I want to ask you about obviously. You have a vintage camper in the North Woods. I saw this on your, I think I saw it on your website. You're restoring it yeah. or what's going on with the vintage camper?
I did. I may have over restored it. you know, some things aren't meant to have air conditioning. I'll tell you that. This 1975, maybe 77 scamp.
Oh, sweet.
It's made in Minnesota as well. And I do haul it over there for repairs usually once a year. But, yeah, I enjoy it. My husband and I, he's a comedian too, Tim Harmston. He's fantastic. We went on a 6-week tour in it, which we'll never do again just because, you know, you have to get somewhere. You're driving 8 hours. You hurry up and set up your camper and then run to the show. And you don't even necessarily, you know, there's not a shower most of the time.
Ooh.
So I can't believe that, though. We did every day shows 6 weeks all the way to the East Coast and back and through Canada, and we didn't even fight until we got an hour from home.
Wow.
Can you believe it? This camper is 9 feet long inside. It's tiny.
Wow.
It's tiny, and we made it that long.
That's pretty good. That sounds like a really yeah. strong marriage.
I don't know anymore.
So is Tim from Wisconsin as well, or does he object to living here? Does he like living here? How's that working out?
No, he grew up in Menominee, Wisconsin, but he started his stand-up in Chicago, too. And actually, Tim's a really, really nice guy until I get in the truck to back the camper up, and then he immediately starts yelling. Oh, nothing has to happen. He just goes from 0 to 12, you know, beyond 10. Just the backing up of the camper, no matter who's doing it, throws him into a complete rage. But we're still together, so.
And if
I've
you
had
want
this camper for a while,
if you want marriage counseling, that's probably something you have to go to Minnesota for too, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's also free marriage
counseling. Free marriage counseling. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
One of us has to keep a residency there. Somehow a residency, a citizenship, I guess.
Yeah, you better hope they never build a wall in Minnesota between these two states.
Hey,
Mary, how did you get started in stand-up? You're up in northern Wisconsin. You said you started in the Twin Cities. Great comedy town.
Well, you know what, though? I have 2 degrees in music. That's why I do comedy.
Oh, wow.
So my second degree in music was in Nashville, and I had a polka band being from Wisconsin. I missed my polka.
Oh my
gosh. So I had a polka band down in Nashville, and we were so bad that I had to stall for time by telling stories in between the songs. And then pretty soon people said, you know, we like the stories a lot better than the songs, which is the worst thing you ever could hear if you're a band. And so then I just went into comedy, and I didn't know I could do comedy. I started out thinking, you know, what could I do? And then it just wound up that there were the most open mics for comedy to figure out what you wanted to do.
So what's the band doing now? Are they all, like, working at Jiffy Lube, or what are they doing?
It could be a documentary.
hold that thought. Let's pick up there. Mary Mack is here, ladies and gentlemen. She's a great comedian. She's one of Wisconsin's very own. She even has a 715 area code. It does not get more Wisconsin than that. We'll be back with more with Mary on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Klayman,
a financial therapist, and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I just saw more sad gelato people walk by. It's just depressing. I'm sorry. Like during the summer, there are hordes of people going next door for gelato. Now it's just sad gelato. It's fall gelato. It's not summer, and I don't have any place for it. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. We are broadcasting statewide from downtown Green Bay, and we are talking with comedian Mary Mack, who is a 715er, native Wisconsinite, and Minnesota. She's joining us tonight over the phone. We were talking about how you got your stand-up, Mary, and please continue.
I'm surprised you guys came back, actually.
What, you think we just took a powder or something?
Anytime somebody gets back on the phone with me, so thank you so much.
Well, you know, this is our pleasure, really. You're a lot of fun. This is really, I can't believe we haven't had you on sooner. This is great.
Yeah, this is nice. This is I don't even have to leave my house, so thanks for letting me call in.
Absolutely.
That would have been a toughie driving to Green Bay and back.
Hey, you are, I don't know how far of it, what is that, like a 6-hour drive?
It's about 5 hours okay. Here, I think.
In the Scampi? Or in the Scamp?
Oh, Scampi. I always add a day on for the Scamp. You don't know. One time I brought it into the Scamp dealership, you know, they hate seeing me come. Because I have like a whole paint job, everything, and I put marine lights on it, everything like that.
Oh.
So they hate seeing me come down the road to get a repair. The last time I was in there, they're like, do you know that this isn't attached? Like, the top part wasn't even attached to the wheel part, you know, the chassis. So it was just like a loose lid on a trailer, basically.
And, well, unfortunately, you might be talking to the one person who knows less about Scamps than you, and that would be me. So I'm not.
Okay.
But, you know, well, hey, if you ever bring it to this way, come to the eastern part of the state again or Green Bay, you have to come in and be on the show here. It would be fun. You have any dates coming up in this area or talk about
I
your
do.
Tour a little bit?
I'm in. I don't. I was going to say, I don't think I can get it right. I can't get the. It's going to take me a while to get the mice carcasses out of there. But I have a date coming up this weekend in Oshkosh, and that's close to you. No, it's not Oshkosh. It's Green Lake. I'm in October. I'm in Oshkosh.
Okay.
At Time Community Theater. So I'm going to be there October 24th, a Thursday. And so then this weekend I'm in Green Lake, and I'm not sure how far that is from you, but it's not too far from Oshkosh.
Okay. Well, we'll just we'll touch
base. Yeah, I got marymackcomedy.com, so if people want to look at the schedule on there. I believe I was trying to tell you something about, how I got started in comedy. Yeah. Was that enough of a description for you? Or do you need me to elaborate?
No. Listen, we just got a text on the stream. Jim Denny says, Mary Mack is awesome funny. When is she playing Around the Valley? Well, Jim, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Green Lake coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. Oshkosh on October 24th at Time Community Theater. It's on my website. Or else Green Lake. Yeah. Green Lake Thrasher Opera House this Saturday, September 7th.
So, that's right.
And I will not proselytize the mattress recycling. I will actually do comedy. I'll do my bits, and I have a really wonderful opener. She's great, Dana Ehrman, and she's out of Milwaukee, and I hired Clean Comics, so, because then you can entertain all ages, and it's easier to go on TV and do comedy if you're clean, so.
Definitely.
I keep it pretty clean, so.
That's excellent. So, you're so unique. I mean, you're very funny, but you have a very unique take and persona. Who are your influences when it comes to stand-up? Who did you grow up watching, and how did you kind of steer your comedy this way?
You know, I didn't even know you could be a stand-up comedian, but there's really just two people. I saw, before I started, I only saw one tape, a VHS tape that way back when, Louis Anderson, who I just adore, and he later became my friend and my mentor, and that's hard to, just to think he's not here anymore is tough, but he was really the only, the influence was there, because I wasn't smart enough to, at the time as a kid, to know what tight writing is or what good joke writing is, but the influence there was seeing my brother-in-law, my siblings were much older than me, and the whole family sitting around watching this VHS tape and just laughing, and the fact that nobody got up and left, they stayed there, and it was like a memorable family moment, and that stuck with me. It'll stick with me my whole life, sitting in our our living room all piled up on Thanksgiving or something, watching that special, and it was so good, and he only got better and better and better after that. But when I was I think it was like sixth grade or something like that, Star Search with Ed McMahon was on.
Sure.
And, I saw Ellen DeGeneres on there.
Oh, great stand-up.
And it might have even been before that, I'm not sure, but I think that's about the era I saw her.
Okay.
And I thought, this lady's going to be famous. And I wrote her name down on a piece of paper, and I stuck it on my bulletin board. And I left it there. It stayed on my bulletin because my mom never, we never cleaned out that room for ages. And so it probably stayed up there at least 12, 15 years. And on a bulletin board, and when people, I'd be in college, and I'd have friends come over, and they'd see the bulletin board. And it'd just be things I thought would happen, and I put them on my bulletin board, and Ellen DeGeneres' name was there, and she did pretty dang good for herself.
As did Louis Anderson. I'm so envious, because like when I would watch comics, Louis Anderson is one of those guys, like, you watch and it's like, man, I wish I knew him. Like, I wish I was friends with him. He just seemed like a good guy, and he's so funny. And a Minneapolis guy, right?
He was so funny. What was that you said?
And he was a Minneapolis guy, correct? Isn't he
from
there?
Yeah, he grew up in St. Paul.
Okay.
So sometimes I'd have to pick him up, I'd pick him up in a Dodge Neon that was about 4 inches off the ground. Whoa. And I remember one time I picked him up, and he always had a weight struggle, and he was always trying to get in shape. And then he always, he had a bum knee. Oh my God, he couldn't believe I picked him up in a car that close, that small, and that close to the ground, and to get him out.
Comedian Mary Mack, that's the voice you're hearing. She's so funny. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our statewide Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest continues, and we debut a completely legitimate and totally real new attack ad. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.